All right, and looking in step with Jesus, last week I mentioned we might look at the maps again a little bit tonight, but again, I was thinking that we were moving to Cana, but the Lord stopped me there when right after, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," and I found another profound statement that was there, and so we're really not moving very far yet, so I hesitate to say next week because you'll hold me to that. I don't know. I really want to get back to the map, and we've got lots of map to look at. But tonight I want you to open your Bibles to the book of John. We've been looking at Matthew, and then we went to John last week, which we looked at John the Baptist's words, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I think that the next verses are verses that we want to hone in on here for just a moment, and so we're going to. So John chapter 1, and let's go ahead and look at verse 35 to go backwards just a little bit. We have a number of pathways to look at, and we started really strong with some pathways, some places where Jesus was. And not only the geographic location of where he was, but what situation that he was in. And then, of course, we have something to learn from that as he went through. And tonight, we have a number of things to look at. In fact, we won't have enough time to look at all of those. Even in just this very short situation here that is recorded for us in John. And very specific to the Gospel of John and not in the other Gospels. And so, let's pay close attention to what John has to teach us. Again, another perspective of what is taking place. Okay, so John chapter 1, let's back up to verse 35. Again, the next day, John is very descriptive on his chronology and time. Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, before we look at verse 38, which is going to be our key verse, I want you to think about this. We have John there. Of course, John looking upon Jesus, making the statement. Okay, verse 35 says, "John stood and two of his disciples." Okay, whose disciples? Were these two of Jesus' disciples? No, these were two of John's disciples. You remember, people were following John. John was warning the world. He was telling the people that were around him that there is going to come one that's greater than I. I know you're following me, but somebody's going to come that's better. In fact, he's the one I speak. This is going to be the one that is going to be. And then here he introduces the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So there's going to come someone greater. So he says here that John stood and two of John's disciples. John recognizes, "Behold the Lamb of God." So right now we've got John, we have the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, walking, and then we have these two disciples of John. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So they started to go after him. Then Jesus turned. So Jesus is walking. I want you to get the picture. We have John over here, his two disciples. John looks, and he wants to tell these disciples something. He said, "There he is. Behold, everyone look. All eyes on Jesus." He said, "There's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And the scriptures teach here, what did they begin to do? These disciples began to started to follow Jesus. Okay, so that's the picture that we get here. So they're starting to follow Jesus. And that's when we pick up in verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," parenthesis, which is to say being interpreted master. So they said, "Master." Interesting word that they used for him, "Master." Where? And another interesting question, "Where dwellest thou?" Now, we're not given much commentary on why they asked this. Where do you dwell? Where do you abide? Where do you stay? Notice the words in verse 39. I said verse 38 was the key verse. 39 is the key verse. "He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And let's stop right there. Okay, so you got the picture. They see Jesus. They begin to follow him. After it's been declared that he was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, they start to walk. And Jesus over here turns around and he says, you know, he says, what seek ye? What are you doing? Why are you coming this way? Why are you following me? What seek ye? And their answer, where do you dwell? Where do you stay? Jesus' answer, come and see. There's a lot in that phrase. Come and see. Now, in the outset, he's inviting them. Listen, come on, you have a question. You're inquisitive about it. Come and see for yourself where I stay. The first pathway, if you're taking notes, we have the pathway of a listening ear. The pathway of a listening ear. You know, these men had an immediate audience with the King of Kings. I want you to think back to the old times and even the Bible times and the kings of the Old Testament. Now, in general, was it easy or difficult to get the king's ear? Is rather a difficult thing. They had to go and they had to stand there. They had to submit their question. You know, they stood at the door. The king, you know, having his scepter, could have either rejected or accepted just the presence. And then the king might say on. Or maybe, you know, they would be taken out. But it wasn't an easy thing. It was also a scary thing. Folks, I want you to understand, as we see here, that the King of Kings has a listening ear. He's ready to listen at any time. You know, why did these men ask the question, where do you abide? Again, we don't get a lot of commentary on that question. Master, where do you live? To me, it's a little bit odd. Where do you stay? What's going on? You're supposed to be the Lamb of God. Where do you dwell? Can we see your house? But right away, now, you think about this. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God. And he could have looked at them and said, I got to go to Cana. I've got some work to do. Listen, you know, it doesn't really matter where I stay, where I dwell. He could have just continued to go on. You know, when we look at this phrase, come and see, there's a testimony that comes through. We don't see it in the word come and see, but overall, we look at this, Master, where do you live? And he stopped. He gave them ear and he said, well, why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and check it out for yourself? You know, sometimes we have questions to ask the Lord, you know, and the Lord isn't saying, now listen, why are you coming to me? Don't you understand who I am? I'm God. No, sir. No, ma'am. You know, when we have the things of the Lord, we don't understand what's going on in life. When we have trials, you know what the Lord says? Come. Come. In other places, he says, come unto me. Come. Come is the word. We as children of God, we look at Jesus Christ. Yes, he's the King of Kings. Yes, he's the Lord of Lords. Yes, he's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, he's listened and ready. He's ready to listen at any moment. Let's take our Bibles really quickly. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 3. Psalm chapter 4. Keep your place here in John chapter 1. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 3. But know that the Lord, that's Jehovah, hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Whatever the question, whether the world would say a dumb question or a good question, Jesus doesn't care the type of question. He says, listen, I'm listening. I've got an ear for you. I've got some answers. Come, come. Tell me your question. What do you want? How can I help you? Jesus is ready to listen at any moment. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, let me read two verses for you. We're going to look at chapter 4, verse 7, and also verse 28. Listen, he said, for what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? He's ready for listening. He said, of course, you can call upon him. You've got a God that's so close. Now, this was in reference to Israel. Praise the Lord, we're now sons of God. It's not just Israel's ear. It's our ear as well. We're sons of God, and he treats us as a son. He says, listen, you can call upon me. I'm close to you. Later in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, we see in verse 28, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. As opposed to the gods of the world that they don't listen to you. Now, that verse is in there. You think about that. You know, I'm grateful for a listening ear from God because sometimes the rest of the world doesn't want to listen or hear. Sometimes other Christians won't listen or hear. Folks, I want to tell you something. Maybe you have burdens and struggles and you would love to talk to somebody about those things. But I want to tell you, whether or not you have brothers and sisters, which, by the way, we ought to have listening ears. We're going to make an application here in just a moment. If no one else wants to hear, I can tell you one thing. God wants to hear when you have a question, folks. God wants to hear. You know the verse in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. What does it say? Call unto me, and I will answer, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. No, God doesn't have a phone that he puts and says, listen, I'm away. Don't call right now. You know, sometimes you can't get through to people because they're on vacation or they're sleeping and they put their phone on silence or they do something and you just can't get through. And it's a choice that they make, folks. Jesus never does that. God never does that with you. At any moment, at any time, we can call and he is close. He wants to hear. I love this, that Jesus is right there for these men. He's right there. No matter the question, he's there. And his words, his answer were, come. Come and see. Folks, we need to have, first of all, an immediate willing and listening ear to other people's problems and struggles. You see, this is the pathway that we're learning from Jesus Christ. We ought to take the example set forward. Jesus had his work. He said he was about his Father's business. He had some miracles to go up and do. He was on the way. He was ready to head to Cana and go do his first miracle there. Jesus had things to do. And these disciples, in my opinion, kind of asked the silly question, where do you dwell? And he took time and he says, why don't you come? Why don't you come and see? The question is do we give our listening ear to other people? Now, in our lives, for some people, it's easy to listen to and talk to. Some of us have a natural tendency to go after the service and talk to certain people. But what about the person that you say, I don't know them very well, or I don't know about them? Are we somebody that people can come to and talk? I want to tell you something. Jesus had a listening ear. We ought to have that same listening ear. Our attitude should be that of, come. Listen, talk to me. What can I help you with? How can I be a blessing to you? You see, that's what Jesus did. Folks, if Jesus did it, shouldn't we have that same pattern in our lives? You know what? People need to talk. You know that because sometimes you feel like you need to talk. Some of you are more readily, you like to talk a lot faster. You like to, share the difficulties that are going on in your life and you don't mind that as much. Some of you are very slow to let anybody in on your struggles and you kind of keep it to yourself. Now that's an individual thing and we're not really talking about that. We're talking about the person that's there to listen. Folks, we ought to be accessible like Jesus Christ was, like he is. Jesus is there. You know, he doesn't go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. He doesn't wait until 6 or 7 in the morning to answer his phone. At any time, at 2 or 3 in the morning, when you're struggling, you can't sleep, call unto me, and I will answer thee. He says, call. Folks, if you're struggling tonight, don't hesitate because you're going to be a bug to Jesus. And I was talking with somebody a long time ago, and their answer and their thought, and this is a good person, but their thought was, you know, I just don't know that God wants us to bug him with some of the smaller things in life. Folks, that almost brings tears to my eyes because I say God does want to hear your small struggles. God wants to know when you're in a little bit of a bind and you just need him help. God wants you to call to him when you don't have direction in your life and you want to know something. God wants to know when his disciples, or these men, these disciples of John say, "Where do you live?" He wanted to hear. He wanted to listen. Let's be like Christ. Let's have an immediate, you know what, sometimes we are busy and our message to somebody else is, "I don't have time for you." Sometimes it's, "I have more important things to do." Have you ever talked to somebody? And I've probably been guilty of being one that's done it. And I apologize if I've done it to you. Have you ever gone to talk to somebody that you really were looking forward to talking to and wanted to share with them some things? And the whole time you were talking to them, they were looking off somewhere else, and then they met your eyes, and then they went somewhere else, or they looked at their watch, and they had something else to do. Now, let me ask you a question. When they did that, when I did that, and I hope I didn't do that to you, but when they have done that to you, did it seem like they were wanting to hear your struggle? And what goes into your mind when they do that? They don't really care to listen to what I have to say. Folks, there are people sitting right in this room that need somebody to show that you can come to them and share. God has given people for people to go to and to help. Folks, that's a big part of the church. You know, people think that church is all about just coming and listening to the preaching. That's only a part of it. The rest of the part is you who are out there mingling with each other and there to help each other. It's not meant for the pastor to meet everybody's needs. It's not meant for a certain group. No, it's you meeting each other's needs. And it's you pointing other people to Jesus Christ. But how is that going to happen if we're too busy for other people? How is that going to happen if nobody feels like they can approach you and come to you? But I'll tell you something, there are other people that might not be so godly that are listening, and they'll find those people that want to listen. Did you catch that? They'll find somebody. That somebody might be the wrong individual. Think of it that way. Next time you don't have time to give to somebody else, they just might go to that person. That's going to pull them away and give them the wrong advice, the wrong ear, send them in the wrong direction. You know, I wish Amnon would have had a better friend than Jonadab. Remember that? What if Amnon would have had a good close friend that was a godly man? You know, Amnon was there lusting after his sister that he felt close to, and he said, and Amnon would have went to this close friend and said, "Boy, what should I do?" You know what? If that good friend was walking with the Lord, you know what he would have said? He said, "Amnon, you're in sin. This is wrong. Amnon, this is not right. Let's look at the Bible." Now, obviously, you know, this good friend wouldn't have been able to use the scriptures like that, but he certainly could have said, "Now, God doesn't honor that. In fact, God will bless you if you do right." I know that a good friend knew that much in those times. Could there have been a completely different attitude or result with Amnon? Yeah, there could have been. It's important who our friends are. It's important who is going to have a listening ear like Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord that Jesus had a listening ear, because what was the result? Two more disciples from John to Jesus. They would be ones that would follow Christ. Now, the goal is not for people to follow you, but the goal is for people to see somebody that cares that's going to point them to Christ. That's the point. Folks, let's be like Jesus and have a listening ear that's willing, ready, immediate. You know what? There should be kind of just an outward sign at our church that people know, "I can go talk to that individual." They're not going to go blabbing it around to everybody. They're going to listen and they're going to care what I have to say. In fact, they're probably going to point me to Jesus. They're going to help me go through this difficult time. You should be approachable that way. If you're not, let's be like Jesus Christ. Let's follow down that pathway. Let's look at the second pathway, and then we will move towards our baptism. Let's look at the next pathway, very closely related to this pathway of a listening ear. Next, we have the pathway of invitation. You know, Jesus said, come and see. Not only did he have that listening ear, but he immediately wanted to meet their needs. He wanted to meet the need. He was willing to listen, but he wanted to meet it. Now, what did these men want? They wanted to go and see. Jesus said, come and see. Now, he could have just listened and listened, but said, but I don't have time to take you there today. You see, as right now you might be thinking, Pastor, this is the same thing, but it is two different things. Because we can lend our listening ear, we can hear about your need, but I can still choose to do nothing about it. No, the pathway of Jesus Christ was he listened to their need, and then he supplied them with the answer. He took them somewhere. He took them to himself. He took them to his abode. He said, come to me and see. And he met the need right there. In the book of 1 John, turn there really quickly to chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. Now here we have this friend that obviously is willing to listen because he heard. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. Now, let's stop right there. He seeth his brother have need. Obviously, he was there and he opened himself up enough that he knew about the need. He knew about a need. Now, what can we do when we know about somebody else's needs? We can pray about it, right? Ought we to pray about somebody else's needs? Yes. Folks, we ought to pray. In fact, that's the best help you can help somebody is to pray about it. Let's go before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's ask the one who is there to answer your needs. Let's go to the Father, which giveth wisdom to all men liberally and abradeth not. Let's go to God. And I'll tell you, we make no lightness of going to God, petitioning for other people to God. We need to pray for each other. If you hear a brother or a sister that has a need, the first thing we have to do is say, God, would you please help this person? They're going through a difficult time. God, would you help them? They're struggling. God, would you meet this physical need? They're going through it. I don't know what it's like, but they're experiencing. God, would you do it? And I'll tell you, that's one of the best things that we can do for a brother or sister. But go on with this verse. There's not a belittling of praying about it, but he's saying, but whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. In other words, he sees the need, yet he has this world's goods. So here's one that's lacking in something. This friend has the answer or the means to meet it. Yet what does he do? He closes his bowels of compassion. And there's other passages of scripture that give illustration of, I'll pray for you. But then says, but I'll just pray for you. See you later. I'll pray for you. Now, that's kind of crazy because God already provided the means. Right? I need this. I've got it, but I'm going to pray God does it. What's the response that God says, that John says here in 1 John? How dwelleth the love of God in him. What was Jesus' response? What was God's response? Come. Come. It was invitation. I know your need and I'm going to meet it. That's God's answer. Do you know that God never pushes you off to somebody else? God never says, well, I'll pray for you. What does God do? Come, I'm going to meet your need. If we are going to follow in Christ's pathway, when we see somebody else with a need and God has already provided us with that answer, that need, there's nothing to pray about. God has already provided. God has already provided. I remember, some of you remember the old-time movie that Bob Jones put out a long time ago called Sheffy. Do you remember that movie? Film? Whatever you want to call it. It's probably been years and years and years since some of you watched that. And no, it doesn't compare with all that Hollywood puts out today. Praise the Lord. I don't really care about that. But I'll tell you, there's one scene in there that is very profound. You remember, for those of you who've watched it, and if you haven't, forget it. You know, don't worry about it. But there's one scene in there where Brother Robert Sheffy, he's there and he's got his horse. And this family, you know, comes up the road. And they're in this wagon that, you know, is all tattered and torn. They have nothing. And they're there, sitting there. Their horse is laying down on the ground. And, you know, they're crying. They say, what are we going to do? Our horse just died. And what are we going to do? And, you know, Robert Sheffy, you know, I just about said drove up. No, he didn't drive up. He rode up. And he sees these people there and he gets off and he says, what's the need? And, you know, they share their sob story. Listen, our horse is just sick and we don't know what we're going to do. And we don't have any way to get anywhere. And all of a sudden something starts ringing in his mind. You know, he says, let me go pray about it. And he goes over and he takes his sheepskin, you know, and he puts it on the ground and he sits down. And he starts to pray and he says, Lord, and I don't know the words, but he starts to pray, Lord, and then he stops. And he says, I suppose it's not doing any good to pray about this. Because you've already provided. And of course you can guess the story. He goes and he takes the saddle off his horse. And these folks say, what are you doing? And he just says, listen, God's already provided. And he gives them his horse. And they, you know, they thank him. And he goes riding off. They go riding off. And he grabs his saddle. And he, you know, heads down the road. And the story, and it's a true story, by the way, that was written, you know, about this preacher a long time ago. He makes it into town, of course. And, you know, when we give, what does God always promise to do? He always blesses. And he always provides our needs. And you remember the story about how he goes into town. And again, the kids will remember the words better than I do. But he goes in and he's tired and everything. And you know, he shares with the other guys that are around the stables there. He said, you know, my horse, I gave it away. You know, and one guy gets a big smile on his face because they know that whatever Robert Sheffy prays for, he gets. And he says, it just so happens that there's a horse sale tomorrow in town or that day or whatever it is. You know, and the story goes, he gets his horse and he rides off. Now, why did I share that? It's not that you get acquainted with the film Sheffy. It's to tell you this, that sometimes we have the answer to people's needs, and all we do is say, I'll pray about it. I hope you get it. And we never once consider, I've got the answer to that need. I have more than what I need. But see, that's what was God's mind. That was Jesus' mind. He said, come, I've got what you want. Folks, we ought to have that same attitude. We got to have that same attitude. The pathway of invitation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm not just going to pray for it. Again, I am not belittling praying for it. But like Brother Sheffy said, why pray for it when God's already given the answer? God's already given the answer. I've got it. And we're at no loss if we give it away. We're at no loss. Because God always blesses. God's already provided the answer. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The invitation is for all to come, for all of the needs. You know, we need to understand, one commentator says, we need to understand and appreciate that Jesus invites us to come to Him for all of our needs. Sin. Deliverance from the world. Darkness. Misery. Damnation unto Him. Unto pardon, peace, rest, and salvation. Jesus' invitation is, come unto me for any need you have. Folks, we ought to have the same. You know, and we can't offer people pardon. We can't offer people deliverance from darkness, but we can introduce them to somebody that can deliver them. I wonder what we have that people need. And for us, the application is that we need to invite people to come, share their needs, and then also to help them fulfill them. Here it is. Or at least lead them to one who can. It's time that we pray for people, but it's time that we start meeting some people's needs. That was the church that began in Acts. And I know that we have studied that church in Sunday school in past years. The church back then, when they saw a need, they met it. They didn't just go pray about it. Again, not belittling prayer. And I believe, folks, by the way, as a side note, I believe we ought to pray about wisdom and giving. I'm not saying that we blindly give. But you see, at one point, and I don't, you know, we go back to that situation, that film, Sheffy. You see, I think that Sheffy was doing the right thing of going to pray. But it was when God said, I've got the answer. That's when he had the responsibility to stop praying and go give it. Does that make sense? We rely upon God to tell us what to give and who to give to. Otherwise, what you end up doing is just, you know, I don't know that it's the godliest thing to take all of your money tomorrow and just start, you know, just start passing it out walking down the street. We got to have godly wisdom when we give. It's when God says, when God shows you, ding, 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 you've got the answer. You've got the need already. That's when it's a done deal and we give it over to the Lord and give for His honor and glory. We meet those needs for people. A lot of pathways. Lots of pathways still to see, even in this phrase, come and see, which we need to stop tonight. But I think that's plenty for you to chew on and think about. First of all, let's have a listening ear. Today, after the baptism, and you go out there into the foyer and your fellowship, have a listening ear and make yourself available to people. Sometimes your availability will come across as just, hey, how are you doing? Sometimes you say, boy, and they let me know. But you know what? That's okay. Because maybe that person needed just somebody to just show them that they cared. It's hard to go to somebody that's not going to talk to you, but you know what? Somebody that comes to me and says, how are you doing? Can I be honest with you? I'm struggling. Come, why don't you come talk to me about it? Share with me. I might not have any answers, but I can pray for you. I can help you. And maybe I will have some answers. Maybe I can help out. See the goodness of God. Let's be listeners, but then let's also be providers. This is the pathway that Jesus went. That's the same pathway that we need to follow as well. Father, I pray that you would help us to not just look at what Jesus did and say, wow, he's a good God. And by the way, God, you are a good God. I thank you that you're one that's willing to listen to us when we need you. I thank you that you're the one that's going to supply needs when we need them. God, thank you. But Lord, help me, help these other people to see that that they need to follow in the same pathway. Help me to see that I need to be there too. I need to be there with a listening ear. I need to be there with invitation, an attitude of invitation. I need to call people in and say, come, talk to me, share with me. Let me meet your need. Help us not to worry. Help us not to count the cost, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. God, help us. Help us just to be ready and ready to give. That's what you did for us. Help us to give it back to you as well. God, we thank you for the different pathways that we can learn from Jesus' life. May we follow in his steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your hymnals.